This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Bombshell to Tucson and the Nancy Guthrie disappearance. Has a guy been detained overnight for questioning south of Tucson and California? A bombshell arrest in the disappearance and death of a young teen girl, Celeste. Tonight, D4VD David Anthony Burke, handcuffed, arrested, behind bars. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. First to Tucson, straight out to Crime Stories, investigative reporter Dave Mack reports in the late night hours that a person south of Tucson had been detained for questioning. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that the same general area where someone was detained before several weeks ago, nearly at the get-go, and everyone was so happy that maybe the case had been resolved, and then it turned out the person was released. In fact, in that case, the SWAT team rolled out for one of the first times since Nancy Guthrie went missing, and they were poised also nearby, a hostage negotiator, we were told, but it all fizzled out. What do you know?
Nancy, that is exactly what happened. And it appears that we're right back in that same general area as we had been before. And now we're being led to the trough, you know, a possible suspect. There's possible new information, but Pima County not jumping in, nobody providing us with a lot of information on this, Nancy, other than what we're putting together by saying, hey, they're in the same general area that we've already been once before. And remember, Nancy, you mentioned that was a big undertaking that last time with the SWAT team, a negotiator. They had the law enforcement had a plan that they were putting into action, and it ended up being nothing. Now we're 2 months down the road and a lot more information has come in. We're getting some DNA evidence back, and now back in the same place. So we'll have to wait and see what happens next.
Well, the good thing this time to Tammy Ballard joining us, DNA and crime scene consultant, crime scene investigator, reconstructionist, former DNA criminalist for the San Diego Police Department Crime Lab. Tammy, thank you for being with us tonight. Tammy, we also know that contrary to what Nano said at the get-go, in the last weeks, the FBI has confirmed that they obtained DNA from inside Nancy Guthrie's home. Many, including me, believe it was from her bedroom. We are also learning from sources that it is, in fact, a hair. Now, we could do a lot of finger-pointing right now about why Nano's team didn't find it, what a miracle it is that the FBI found it weeks later. Reality, they found it. Now, we understand it's a hair. If that's true, Tammy Ballard, what does that mean? And I also know this, Tammy, that the FBI is testing it at their labs. It has not been sent to the teacher's pet lab that Nano's has had a contract with.
It actually is the greatest time for there to be hair recovered from a scene because the technology right now is on point. In the old days, you had to have that hair, which is also very hard to find. So you have to give the crime scene people some credit because it is that's a difficult evidentiary piece right there. But once it's located, now is one of the best times in the forensics world because you used to have that really great hair root for DNA. And now you have these laboratories across the country that are able to extract a DNA profile from a hair that is not even having that great root material. So what we call rootless hairs.
Joining us is Tammy Ballard, and she is referring to nuclear DNA from a hair, which you get from a root. What she's talking about is a nuclear hair sample where the root is obtained. In the root of your hair, you have your dad's DNA and your mother's DNA, nuclear, like the nuclear family, nuclear DNA. If the root is not still attached to the hair, No problem. We now have mitochondrial DNA, which is only from your mother's side, but it can still be a match. No problem. I'd always rather have nuclear, but if I don't have it, fine. What we have is a hair now being analyzed by the FBI. What exactly, Tammy, is the difference between analyzing, let's just say, blood or sperm, and let's go with the least desirable, mitochondrial DNA from a hair. What's the difference in those two DNA analyses? For those of you just joining us, we hear in the night hours, someone, a male, south of Tucson, detained for questioning, but then everything went radio silent. What happened? If anything, that said, the FBI has let it out that they have DNA and we believe it's a hair. So how is the analysis different, Tammy Baller, between, let's just go with a mitochondrial hair analysis versus blood or sweat analysis?
I do want to go one step further on the hair technology with respect to rootless hairs. So yes, the ideal is a nice root for nuclear DNA. Then the next step could be mitochondrial DNA, which is on that maternal line. That would be good to compare to everybody that they already have reference samples for to make sure that it's nobody from Nancy Guthrie's family. But once they do that, if there is sufficient material, they don't just have mitochondrial in their wheelhouse, they can actually sequence it. And that's how they can use that for the genealogy searches. So the technology has advanced beyond.
When you say sequence, you mean, you know what, let me have you explain it. What do you mean by sequence?
The SNP technology, the single nucleotide polymorphism technology that is being utilized for the forensic genetic genealogy testing, that is actually in the wheelhouse for, it's not a lot of laboratories, but some select laboratories that are able to do rootless hairs. So yes, mitochondrial is something that will probably be assessed or possibly be assessed, but there's also this advancement in the technology to be able to utilize sequencing for rootless hairs.
Okay, back to the question, Tammy Ballard. Oh, hold on. Dave Mack, before I get to Tammy Ballard on the difference in the FBI at Quantico analyzing the hair versus sweat or blood that may have been found at the scene, I'm not talking about Nancy Guthrie's sweat and blood. I'm talking about the perp's sweat and blood, particularly sweat from the bite light onto his hand and then hand onto surfaces in the home. We understand, well, we all saw, Savannah Guthrie introduced Hollywood star Anne Hathaway. They went to a break, and when we came back, no Savannah Guthrie, she was called off the set. Many speculated she got word of a development in the Nancy Guthrie case. Was it to do with the person detained? Was it some other development? She came back. And what that tells me, Dave Mack, is she was not told that Nancy had been found either dead or alive, or she would have left and been on the next plane out to Tucson. So it's not that. But she did leave the set. So that's another factor to throw into what we're already learning about a potential detainee, not arrest, a detainee detained for questioning in the nighttime hours south of Tucson. What can you tell me about that?
Well, Nancy, when you get right down to it, Savannah introduced an upcoming segment with Anne Hathaway. And when viewers came back to the scene, Hoda Kotb was doing the interview. Nothing was said, just Savannah's not there. And, you know, it makes, you know this, from a network level, the preparation that goes into having a segment like that is pretty intense. So for Savannah to be taken away at that moment, not something they would do lightly. It was obviously to get her information because they might have been afraid that this information was going to be leaked and it could be leaked before they were able to get it to her. So that's what I'm kind of leaning towards. Now, what actually happened with regard to the DNA, the hair, whatever they found, again, investigators being very cagey on what they're telling us. We know that we've got multiple labs involved in bringing back multiple results to the Pima County Sheriff's Department. and being able to analyze it with the FBI. So there's a lot of different things coming to play. But what did happen is during the course of the day yesterday, after Savannah walked off the set, we found out that some DNA results have come back and that investigators are looking at this DNA information.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tammy Ballard, back to that question. We don't know for sure what kind of DNA it is. And in the last hours, as we go to air, Tammy Ballard, the Pima County Sheriff, that would be Nana's, puts out the first statement they've put out in weeks and weeks and weeks. It seems like the online sleuths are doing more than the Pima County Sheriffs are doing. But that said, stating that they are cooperating with the FBI. Okay, that's not exactly a bombshell, but could you very simply break it down? If it is a hair, how easy is that to analyze? How long does it take as opposed to analyzing sweat or blood?
Well, the biggest difference is that the hair, if it has a nice big root, that's going to have some DNA, but obviously not as much as something like blood or sweat potentially. So you're really hoping that you probably have like maybe potentially a one-shot deal with a single hair if that's what they have. Blood, saliva, sweat, those are items where you could potentially do more types of testing. You could do the traditional testing and maybe also testing for the SNP technology in genetic genealogy. But with a hair, usually it's a one-shot deal. It's a little bit more finesse as far as the actual technical side of it when you're extracting the DNA. But once you move forward with that, they would likely be taking that forward for sequencing if they have enough hair sample available.
As we wait for the latest on a possible detainee overnight, we know this. The FBI ramping up advanced DNA testing as mixed genetic samples point to a possible breakthrough in Nancy Guthrie's kidnap case. Now, straight out to the D4VD case, to Brian Fitzgibbons joining us, Director Operations, USPA Nationwide Security, leading a team of investigators to find missing people and analyze cases. You can find him at USPA Nationwide Security. Brian, what do you make of it? Let's see the video obtained from our friends at TMZ. D4VD now in handcuffs and arrested. Take a look, Brian.
Yeah, Nancy. So there must be a significant development here. And what this points to me is that somebody has come forward and provided a witness statement here, that there's some person with information that's related to this case that's come forward. They've had months and months to analyze what would probably amount to be quite a bit of physical and digital evidence. But this new break seems to be, if I had to speculate, is related to a witness coming forward.
Straight out to Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Tell me what happened. When did the arrest go down?
The arrest went down late yesterday afternoon, Nancy, and the LAPD saying it's the Hollywood Hills, but not exactly identifying the address. But Nancy, it was important to point out that the LAPD said they had been keeping track of D4VD for some time. They knew exactly where he was. They knew what he had been doing because there was no public appearances. I mean, David Anthony Burke was gone. We couldn't find him anywhere. Didn't know if he was in Texas or California, but the LAPD, they knew exactly where he was. Now, when they got there, they showed up with guns, they showed up with gear, and one of the LAPD's finest on a megaphone from outside of the house is saying, "Surrender, surrender." So that was how he was brought into custody.
Last night, the platinum artist D4VD, aka David Anthony Burke, arrested on suspicion of murder in the death of a 14-year-old little girl, Celeste Rivas Hernandez. This is 7 months after her body is found dismembered and severely decomposed in the trunk of his Tesla. Now, we understand, and you can see from the video from TMZ, he seemed to be completely cooperative when he was taken into custody. And I believe that he had been schooled by his parents, one of them being a lawyer, not to resist arrest. LAPD prepared for it, heavily armed and in force. Now, their lawyers, Burke's lawyers, quickly issue a statement that I'm sure they've had ready for weeks. Let's be clear, the evidence will show he did not murder Celeste Rivas, and he was not the cause of her death. Here's the deal. To you, Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA Nationwide Security, so much time went by from the time of her death to the time her body was discovered. Her body was in deep decomposure. She was also dismembered. We may never get a COD cause of death. So, at trial, D4VD could very well take the stand and state it was all an accident, then he panicked and hid the body. I could see that playing out in court, but why dismember the body? And if there was an accident, why not call 911 to save her life?
Yeah, that's correct. And we saw a very similar thing, defense play out with Brian Walsh, with the murder of Anna Walsh. And prosecutors were able to establish through digital evidence and forensic evidence that there was intent, intent to cover this up. And these things will come into play for D4VD. And what I'll add to this is, anybody in his circle, and there was another arrest, I believe yesterday as well, for somebody who failed to respond to a subpoena related to this case. So you're seeing, you're peeking behind the curtain here of what investigators have uncovered is probably a lot of communications and digital evidence around this conspiracy.
You know, we talked from the get-go, Brian Fitzgibbons, you and I, about potential digital evidence. When you say digital evidence, be specific, because I think you're right.
Yeah, what I'm specifically referring to is going to be communications, messaging apps on cell phones, whether it's cell phone communication, direct SMS, or through another application that they're... Investigators have probably obtained some amount of those messages that would indicate that there was some conspiracy here to cover up this crime.
You know, another thing to point out, Brian Fitzgibbons, joining us, USPA Nationwide Security, is that he is charged with murder. He's not charged with voluntary. He's not charged with involuntary. He's not charged with felony murder, which is a death occurs in commission of a felony. That felony, for example, could be child molestation if he was having sex with her. It could be statutory rape. It could be aggravated assault. It could be false imprisonment, keeping her in the mansion if she didn't want to be there. It could be improperly influencing a child. In other words, helping her run away from home. It could be all sorts of things, and she died. No intent to kill her, but that's not what he's charged with. He is charged with murder. That tells me that they've got more than what they found on her remains, that they have a witness. Because how could they know they've got the facts to charge him with murder? Murder is the intentional, with malice aforethought, killing of another person. That means you intend the act. Like, if I strangle you, if it only takes me 1 minute, that gives me time to form intent. If I raise the gun and pull the trigger, that gives me time to form intent. They have charged him with murder, not a lesser charge. So they've got something. What is it?
Yeah, and spot on. And one of these witnesses, very likely, investigators had enough to charge them with a serious crime. What we're dealing with here is a minor who is away from home, and that witness may be looking at, hey, I'm facing these charges if I don't turn state's evidence and tell them what I know about what occurred, right? And I think that that's very likely what happened here.
According to once sealed documents, the mother, the father, and the brother of D4VD tried to quash their subpoenas to come and testify. That was denied. Straight up to Tammy Ballard joining us, DNA crime scene expert. Tammy, what do you think could have been found, forensic evidence such as DNA or other evidence found at the scene, that led them to charge murder, not a lesser charge, but intentional, with malice aforethought, the killing of another person? What could it be?
Well, I would actually wonder if they identified through some sort of investigative capabilities where the actual crime scene is. There's obviously a secondary crime scene, so that's a possible that somebody came forward and they've identified where she was actually murdered.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
We have also gotten a peek at the wording in the court documents. Quote, detectives partially unzip a bag and observe a decomposed head and torso. This was according to the subpoena that we have seen from LA County ME's office. Upon removing the cadaver bag from the front storage compartment of the Tesla, it was discovered the arms and legs had been severed from the body. A second black bag was discovered underneath the cadaver bag. Upon opening the second bag, the dismembered body parts were discovered. Wow. Dave Mack, talk about a nightmare. That would make a rookie cop run for the hills and never look back. Two bags. See, we're learning more once we've obtained information from these documents tonight. Two bags were found in the front trunk of the Tesla. Let's see a shot of that. Remember, the smell emanated there at the impound lot. And when they opened the frunk, there was the body. We didn't know there were two separate bags, one referred to as a cadaver bag. And in that bag is the head and torso. There's a bag under that with the rest of her body parts. We also learned, Dave Mack, the subpoena states that a cadaver bag covered with insects and a strong odor of decay was found.
Shocking information, Nancy, as you mentioned. You know, it was the smell that actually attracted the workers at the impound lot, you know, because the vehicle was towed there. It sat there for a couple of days before they actually went, what the heck, man, this is horrible, and called police. But as you mentioned, now we've got two bags, one actually listed as a body bag. A quick search online to find out, where do you get a body bag? Somebody who doesn't work in that field, you can order them online, and they had been used. The body bags had been used in some D4VD music videos, believe it or not. Don't know if it was purchased for that purpose, but eventually some of the remains of Celeste Rivas Hernandez found in that body bag in the frunk of the Tesla.
Well, Tammy Ballard, that's your Super Bowl right there. A body bag, two of them. They're typically of a plastic nature. That's perfect as a conduit for fingerprints.
That's a great potential. And the fact that it's actually two bags is even better potential for DNA testing as well. Just because if she's actually contained within those items, then at least some of that decomposition is going to not have affected all of the potential DNA recovery and the fingerprint recovery. So the exterior of those bags needs to be focused on. Those bags, I'm assuming, are made pretty well if they're actually supposed to contain all the elements of a body. So it would be something where they could focus on that and try to obtain any relevant evidence that they can, fingerprints, DNA, even trace evidence like hairs. This is the kind of stuff where, and the expectation obviously is that he's going to have his own DNA in his own trunk, but maybe they have additional information that they can look for, or just use this to corroborate his role in this.
Now, this is another fact that we know. We know D4VD's defense states, well, there's no indictment, but police have stated they are presenting a case to prosecutors at LA County DA's office on Monday. The office, in its statement, says it's aware of the arrest. When they get the case, then they present it to the grand jury. Now, isn't it true, Dave Mack, that a D4VD grand jury is nothing new? There has been a D4VD grand jury for months. They have been investigating the case. So this is probably going to be the same grand jury they're going to put the indictment to.
It's the same jury that's been sitting since November, Nancy. You know, it started out as an investigative jury, you know, and we were told so many different things about what this jury could do or couldn't do. And then found out later that they were investigating the death of Celeste Rivas Hernandez and that David Burke was the focus. So a lot is going to come out Monday when we find out what the next step is going to be. But, you know, for the time being, David Anthony Burke is in jail without bail.
What are you saying, Dave Mack? What are you saying till we find out what the next step is going to be? The next step is an indictment. That's the next step. The long dead body of this little girl found in D4VD David Anthony Burke's Tesla, found one day after she would have turned 15. She was just 13 years old in the seventh grade when her family reported her missing. She was with D4VD, and after that, they never said another word. Nothing. Where have they been all this time? Why are we the only ones banging the drum, demanding justice? Brian Fitzgibbons, this is very odd behavior on the parents' part. Never issuing a public plea, never thanking the LAPD for finding their girl, never demanding justice. I'd be laying on the front steps of the courthouse screaming for justice. Nothing. Radio silent. And now an indictment is set to go down, and they're what? What? Where are they?
Yeah, it's incomprehensible, the fact that there hasn't been a large outcry from her family. You know, that being said, there isn't a playbook for these scenarios, but it is a bizarre situation that the media has been standing up for her a lot more than the family.
You know, Fitzgibbons, I have never, never gotten a tangle with you. But did you actually just say there's no playbook for this sort of thing?
I did.
Have a child 13 that go missing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you have a couple of little girls?
Of course. And you know, you know what
okay.
I would be
and
doing.
If one goes missing, what would you do? Suck your thumb?
Hey, you know what I would be doing, Nancy. It's just,
yeah, I'd have to take the gun out of your hand, off of your leg, off of your back, the machete out of the other hand, and lock you up in the basement and let you go kill somebody. But they've done nothing. No demands for justice. No, where is my child? They had one measly missing person report. That was it.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. And hey, you know, that might be something that comes out in this indictment is, was there intimidation? Was there pressure put on the family by somebody like D4DV who has a significant amount of wealth and assets to pressure a family like Celeste Rivas?
Look at D4VD. He weighs 100 pounds soaking wet. You think he's going to intimidate a full-grown man, the father of Celeste, or a mother, God forbid? I'd rip his eyes out if he took my girl, or if he took my boy. Oh, H-E-L-L-N-O, nothing. What I'm saying is, Where have they been? And all the time she was missing. She took up with D4VD when she was 13 years old. Check your law book.
100%. Yeah, I mean,
man,
hey,
you sure know how to change your tune. I'll take it up with you later. Guys, tip line first for Mrs. Guthrie. A lot is happening behind the scenes. 1-800-225-5324. Don't bother calling the Pima County Sheriffs. 1-800-225-5324. There is a $1.2+ million reward for information leading to her whereabouts. No conviction, no arrest required. For Celeste, the state is building its case. Dial 213-486-6890. Repeat, 213-486-6890. Unless the parents have been scared or intimidated, I expect to hear from them. Tonight, after following, investigating, and working these two cases, is there an end in sight? Will we get justice for Celeste Rivas and Mrs. Nancy Guthrie? We remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff William Heath Kelly, Covington County Sheriff's, Alabama, leaving behind a grieving wife, Anita, a son, Ty, and daughters, Skylar and Jennifer, sentenced to life without dad. American hero, Deputy Sheriff William Heath Kelly. Thank you to our guests being with us tonight, but especially to you. Nancy Grace signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.